That closeout was, that was tough, man, because one of the things that, you know, you, at least I try to think of or remember, you know, coaching or playing, all these guys, and the game's moving so fast, it's a little different. But you never contest that shot going in to the shooter. Like, even at his angle, he was running towards the corner to contest it, and then he jumped towards the right where he's going into the shooter, and just keep going towards that corner, mm-hmm. and contest where you're not going in and your momentum's not, mm-hmm. taking you into, mm-hmm. the shooter. And that was tough, man. That was tough for my boy Russ. Get my jokes off because I know that's your boy, but I love Russell Westbrook. I hated to see that for him at any time, man. So,
yeah, those, and he's been so, like, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, that feels like it was a far bigger game for Minnesota than it was for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Though I'm very, very confident Denver would have liked to have had that game. He's been so integral to what they've done this year. He has been great. He has been an absolute flawless fit for the Denver Nuggets. But, just not his night last night. Didn't shoot well. 5 turnovers. Played major, major, major minutes off the bench. Just a couple of costly mistakes there at the end.
Yeah.
But a great game.
Great game.
Absolutely incredible game.
Fantastic game. Here's something I told the insiders and I was thinking about just last night watching that game. The Minnesota Timberwolves, that's a crazy bunch right there. Crazy. Like, loco. Like, they crazy.
Elaborate.
I'm pretty sure,
mm-hmm.
when they see Denver and OKC on the schedule, they feel great.
Mm.
They like, let's go. If they play Denver in OKC in a series, like drew them in a series, they be like, man, we sweep these dudes.
Mm.
They have unbelievable confidence going up against those two teams. And I think we looked at it on the handoff. I think they're like 7-2. No, it's not that many games. It's probably 5-2 or 6-2 on the season against those two teams. They feel great against those teams. And you know what? I think they're a wild card in the playoffs. I think the Timberwolves are a wild card in the playoffs. They can make a run. They can not even make the playoffs as well. Like, that's they're a better version of what we talk about with the Kings when you talk about what they can do in the playoffs. They can lose 2 play-in games and not make it, or they can get back to the Western Conference Finals.
Hmm.
Do either of you guys see that type of
trajectory? I think if they see OKC in the first round, they'll get bounced.
The Western Conference Finals, huh?
They have that capability.
I think like it's second round maybe, but if you're playing OKC, I think they're done first round. Maybe you get past Denver in the first round.
I don't.
They swept Denver this year. Was it 3-0 or 4-0?
I think insiders were saying like 3-0. I think.
Yeah.
I just don't believe. I guess with Oklahoma City, it's not that I don't think they're good. I just want to see them in a series,
mm-hmm.
You know, even against, you know, good coaches, really high end coaches, championship coaches, like a guy like Michael Malone. I would be fascinated to see them against a team like the Los Angeles Clippers and Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. I almost feel the same way about Minnesota. It's like, I don't believe you.
Hmm.
You're not – everything you just said about them, I get. Are they crazy? Sure. Talent? Yeah. I don't believe you.
Well, there's going to be a point, too, where Rudy Gobert gets played off the court in the playoffs and all that, so you kind of have to work around that.
They probably embrace that. They'll play him off, meaning the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves will play Rudy off. Like, all right, we're going to go with the small lineup here, Rudy. You're off. They'll be fine. I don't know.
They're intriguing.
Let me change a word. You obviously think they're good enough. Mm-hmm. Do you trust them?
Absolutely not. Like I said, they cannot make the playoffs.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think.
Because if you don't trust them.
I think, though, if you ask me to predict what they'll do, I think they'll make the playoffs and they'll lose in the first round. That's what I think will happen.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would not. What I was saying was.
You're presenting a complete picture.
Yeah. Okay. I would not be surprised in the least if they made it to the Western Conference Finals. I think you guys would be. Right?
Yeah. I think I'd go ahead and give the title to Cleveland and Boston.
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised. Mm. I think I'd be surprised. I don't. Yeah, I just don't believe them. I don't trust them.
I think they have a guy.
I believe they're talented, by the way. Like I can say 50 different things about them, but one thing I won't say is that's not a talented group that's capable mm-hmm. of doing big things. But at that level, I'm not there.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. I think you have a guy in Anthony Edwards that can take over a series. So you've got that. You've got a second fiddle guy in Julius Randle who can score in bunches if he has the right matchup or whatever's going on. You got McDaniels who can defend. You got N'Keal Harry who can defend and shoot. DiVincenzo coming up. They have a lot of the components. I talk crazy about them, but you still do have Rudy Gobert there if he's playing well and the matchup is there to keep him out there on the floor. They've got a lot of components where, and then the other part is they think they can get to the Western Conference. They're like, absolutely, we can. Where in, for point of reference, do, say, the Kings get into the playoffs? Do they think they can get to the Western Conference Finals? Probably not. Yeah. The Grizzlies get in? Probably not. I don't even think. I could be wrong. I don't even know if the Rockets feel like they can get to the Western Conference Finals. Minnesota's like, no, we can.
Well, they put have. Us against anybody. Right? Is that where they were last year?
They were there last year.
Yeah.
A little different team. No cap.
No, for sure. But when you've done it, yeah, like I think you should enter the postseason I think you should enter. No, not we can get back there. Like, no, we're going to get back there.
I think they're one of the teams who feel like they can't. They feel that way. Not everybody feels that way. I wonder if the Clippers feel that way. I don't know. But
I feel it. You talk about crazy. I think the Clippers are crazy enough to think they can win the conference.
I don't even think that's like, crazy, to be honest.
Like I absolutely believe in the locker room, they're like, who's better than we are?
I believe
like
the Clippers more than Minnesota, I'll say that. If Kawhi's healthy, I'll get in that car. Yeah, then I'll take the Clippers.
Yeah, I'll get in that car.
Wait a minute, in the chat, did I say N'Keal Harry?
You did. Arizona State legend.
That's a rip.
Arizona State legend.
Hey, he was supposed to be that dude
first
as a wide receiver.
Yep.
N'Keal Alexander. Alexander Walker, excuse me. N'Keal Harry is supposed to be that dude.
Some real sports knowledge right there.
Nah, they was like, oh, Patriots get him. It's on and popping. No, didn't. It wasn't on and popping. But to your Clippers point,
it in fact wasn't.
I couldn't believe that from the Clippers, or I really could. They're a team that was able to stay above water with everything that's going on, and now they're going into the postseason, finally having everybody, and they probably feel like, hey,
LA,
yeah, we got everybody.
The Clippers.
Yeah. I looked at that and. And it's okay if we see it differently. I just think the Timberwolves are dangerous. If they get some momentum behind them, mm-hmm. they can ride that for a nice little playoff run. Because they are a little.
I'm not going to fight you on it and be like, Casey, that's crazy. Like, I'd be surprised.
They also do feel like a little bit of an emotional team too. Like so, well, whatever's going on. Like if they beat the Rockets in the first round.
Yeah.
Oh, we got that win. That's all we needed. We just needed to get in. Now we're here. Like, I think they might be able to do something.
So you'd like them. Let's hypothetically. You know what's fun? Because we started talking about WrestleMania 9. Why wouldn't we? Memphis is on the verge.
Oh, Memphis might not make anything.
Seems like some things might be happening.
Memphis is on the verge right now of winding up out of the playoffs and into the play-in. Let's run with that because it's fun. You got Minnesota at 6. That's an opening round matchup against, we'll stay with standings, Denver. This whole conversation with Bert was birthed by it. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, one more time. Say that.
Minnesota and Denver.
If
Minnesota opens. Yeah. I'm sorry. If Minnesota goes to the 6, Memphis falls back.
I would pick Minnesota to win that series.
Would you? Jesse?
No, I'll go Denver.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Minnesota's had their number this regular season, but I don't know, I think I'll take Jokic.
They've had their number for 2 years now.
Yeah.
I might mess around and root for Denver as much as I don't like it.
Wow. Well, what did Minnesota do to you?
No. Minnesota didn't do nothing. I'm talking about Russ.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not okay. It makes sense.
Yeah,
it's
talking about Russ. Yeah. And
that Russ. Nuggets number 4 being delivered to the mansion.
They had a jersey. Okay. They had a jersey that I liked. The colors. I feel like the front of it I didn't like, but I really like the colors.
Is that the joint with the rainbow joint? I think it's the 5280 joint.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. I love the design of that. I hated the 5280. That's dumb. I'm not wearing that. I'm not wearing any
they
jersey.
They represent where they from.
Yeah, but that's dumb. We're going to put 916 on our jersey?
Maybe.
That's a lot of numbers.
put Sacktown.
Oh, no.
Remember that red Sacktown jersey?
That was
I'm thinking of.
Awful.
That was trash.
That was up there or down there with the gold jerseys.
Absolute trash.
Mm-hmm.
When's Joe coming on? Is that next?
Next.
Yeah, Joe Davidson.
Joe,
I think, is at the baseball game.
He is, and he said, yeah, he might be on the phone.
Oh, we're going to see. We're doing that. Yeah, all right, we'll see. Stick around. Come back. It'll be the year 2002 when D'Lo and Casey return. Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Joe Davidson going to join us on the phone here in just a couple of minutes because it's 1992, and I think he's at the baseball game.
Yeah, he's at Sutter Health Park, man, where...
it's a beautiful day for that.
It is a beautiful
Goodness
day.
Goodness gracious.
And it's really nice.
We'll go Ferris Bueller, D'Lo and KC calling sick, and man, they ain't sick. I saw him at the baseball game.
Beautiful day for some baseball. Beautiful day for anything. Just walk around.
That's beautiful day. It's the wind isn't crazy, and it's not raining. We're winning right now.
That forecast looking lovely.
Yeah, it's getting
looking
there.
Lovely.
It is.
We got everything there. Good in there. We got water in the.
Yeah, the pool's done.
You can swim.
Yeah.
You can swim.
Yeah, I mean it'd be a little cold to go swimming right now, but yeah.
All right.
No, it's there, man. It's beautiful when the sun is out and it hits. Boy, that's what I wanted right there. That look right there is beautiful. And shout out to our man Scott. He's out there working on the fence that he took the whole. He was like, he said, "Bruh, this is a nice house. Your fence is trash. I'm tearing the whole thing down." And he just tore the whole thing down and is rebuilding it. So
there we go.
Thanks to our man Scott for that, man. I was doing some work upstairs for KSFM, and I was like, is that Kyle? And I'm like looking around. Is like something hot? Like, no. Scott was out there listening to the Insiders.
Oh, shout out Scott, man. Big up Storm.
Probably turned us off when our show started, but he's listening to the Insiders.
That's how everyone's worst nightmare. That's what he did.
Well, he did. He did. Let's bring in our man Joe Davidson. He's out at Sutter Health Park. Joe, how's it looking out there today?
It's a beautiful Wednesday, sunshiny, nice and pleasant. I ducked into a suite because it's so noisy with all the speakers, and I value you guys too much. I want to be able to hear what you have to say.
That is so
sweet.
Otherwise,
I'd be out there by the speaker saying, what? What?
Well, we appreciate that.
That sounds like us when we're in the same room with each other, so that's fine. No problem.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I ran into Kenny Caraway at the Mike Bibby presser, and I almost asked him. I said, aren't you supposed to be on the air? And he was so casual, like, I might show up. And then I was listening to you,
yeah.
Damien, as I was driving home, and you were saying he was there. He said, he's going to take his time. He may not make it. So
yeah,
he did make it, but you know, there was no urgency. I mean, he's sitting there signing autographs.
Did you
sign no autographs at Mike Bibby? I thought it was the most
outrageous
thing I've ever seen.
Did you did you have to get through his security to say hello to him, or?
You know, I was fortunate. I brought my laptop and I was typing up my story there, you know, because we want to get posted right away. And
yeah.
He came over and said hello, interrupted.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah. That's like, my guy, Joe D. I got to go see my guy, Joe D.
He did. And I said, can't you see I'm busy here, Kenny? I mean, come on.
No, that's exactly what he said. No, say, get away, kid.
He always radiates. So we said hello, yeah.
Man, Joe, I won't obviously want to talk about the Sac State thing, but you're out at Sutter Health Park. Is this the first game you went to, or were you there the opening night?
No, I did not go the first two nights, so I'm doing a big picture story on how it went the first 3 days, and it's just really kind of cool. You know, this is we all know that this is a big league city, and we've seen what FC Republic draws and how all that rolling momentum, hopefully, for Major League Soccer. We know what the Kings have brought, but this is great for here, and I got some cool little odds and ends. I ran into the head of security, Terry Lockett's a longtime local guy, longtime high school football official. And I said, so any problems on Monday and Tuesday? He goes, only one fan ejection that we know of, eighth inning Monday night's opener. He goes, a Cubs fan. I said, well, of course, it's got to be a Cubs fan. You know, unruly. It wasn't enough that they were winning 18-3. The guy was probably throwing beer at people. So,
probably Manny.
Manny.
Yeah,
yeah, probably
exactly. Right. So they had 150 media credentials on Monday and only about 40 now. So, you know, the luster kind of dies off. But some, you know, a lot of kinks to iron out, and you know, all of this is going on the fly. And Mark Kotze, the A's manager, said the players are still trying to learn the venue. They didn't have any exhibition games here. They're trying to figure it all out, too. And, you know, and we'll see. I mean, I've already heard some rumblings from people who are pretty well connected in baseball. That if these things don't get ironed out, they may only play here a year because the Players Association may say this isn't going to work. And wouldn't that be unfortunate?
Yeah. That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like if we it weren't able to get this, that actually would be really embarrassing for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
You knew what the parameters were. You knew you had a deadline to get this stuff done. This whatever needs to be done, as is stated by the Players Association, it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And I, the one thing I don't get, and I think it's a blown opportunity for marketing and sales because it's always about making money, is I'm sitting here in this suite right now, and I was outside in the media area, and you see it says Las Vegas over three big partitions on the outfield fence. In this venue, I can't see the word Sacramento anywhere. Mm. Anywhere. And if you were just dropped in here from the Midwest, you'd say, where are you? It's like, Las Vegas? And on their uniforms or the caps, there's no Sacramento anywhere. Why not market that? You know, well, we want to just be interim. That's what John Fisher, the A's owner, is saying. Temporary, but you're here. I mean, how many tens of thousands of those could have been sold? T-shirts, hats, jerseys, replicas, whatever. I don't know. I'm not calling those shots, obviously, but that seemed like a real mess.
You know, I still do believe they're going to go to Las Vegas at some point. But Fisher, he makes a lot of wrong decisions. But one of, like you just mentioned, no connection to Sacramento, I think, is a failure. And one of the things that I just take notice of, I told Damien this. The more they try to tell me they're going to Las Vegas, the less I believe them. It sounds like they're being real loud and trying to convince everyone, no, we're still going no matter what. And I don't know, it screams insecurity over what their deal is in Las Vegas right now. That's just the way it speaks to me when I just keep seeing Vegas all over the place.
That's a great point. And just as a refresher, the A's are going to play here scheduled for 3 years with a fourth-year option. Which, and John Fisher in his media session a couple days ago said that you know, that's he is hopeful that the shovels hit the ground in Las Vegas this summer. If that does that's you know, what's the, I mean, the cost of everything, $1.5 billion for a dome stadium. And I remember within the last year, wasn't the mayor of Las Vegas saying he wasn't really on board? That's not good. You think about the mayors that we've had here in Sacramento over the years, be it Kevin Johnson or Daryl Steinberg, they were always in the corner of expansion and, you know, a Kings new arena and Major League Soccer. If you have a mayor in Las Vegas who isn't fully on board, maybe he is now, that's not good. That's not good at all. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Joe, who has the option? You said there's a fourth-year option. Who has the ability to exercise that? Sacramento, Fisher, both?
I would think it would be the A's. If the dome isn't ready, then they're going to have to say, we're going to have to, can we use Sutter Health Park another year?
Sure.
Okay. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be real curious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a big week in Sacramento, not just with professional baseball being played for the first time in West Sacramento. A huge announcement over at Sac State, where you ran into the world famous Kenny Caraway. Mike Bibby, one of the most beloved players in Kings history, brought back to the city. That he rarely leaves. He spends a lot of time here. Obviously, he was an analyst most recently. Now he's the new head coach of the Sac State Hornets. What do you know about how all this came together, Joe?
It's really interesting. And I've known Mike Bibby for years. When I covered the Kings, I did stories on him. And I ran into Mike at a Sac State football game back in October. And he was talking to Dr. Luke Wood, president of Sac State. And I went up and said hello to Mike and you know, do you really want this job? I want it badly, is how he worded it. And so he said yesterday, and Kenny will remember, he said that Mark Orr, the athletic director for Sacramento State, he reached out to Mark Orr several times over the years. I'm here. The timing wasn't right. I thought they brought in the coach a couple of years ago who's now at LSU. You guys have him on the air. I forget his name right now. That was the right hire then because he had college experience. Now, when the interim takes over as a gap filler for Sac State and they go 7-25 last place in the Big Sky, now it makes sense for Bibby to be the guy. And you know, yeah, there could be initial concerns. He's never coached in college, but he could surround himself with guys who coach in college. He said he's already received 200 video clips from players who want to come. 200. So they're not gonna have a hard time getting players. His first commitment, and this hilarious, is the son of Shaq. I mean, is that allowed? You know, fierce rival, you could bring your son in. And he joked about that and said, yeah, Shaq called him and said, take him. And so he's a 6'8", 215-pound shooting forward, Florida A&M. And so his name recognition, Mike Bibby, is going to help. What impresses me about Bibby and talking to him and people who know him is that he teaches the game. Well, don't they all teach the game? Well, Kenny, you heard it yesterday, you know, practice habits and jab stepping here on defense in his first 20 minutes of every practice. They work on defensive rotations, the theme being practice habits carry over to games. I ran into Albion Connie, decades-long strength and conditioning coach in Sacramento, was the King strength and conditioning coach for years, and became very close with Bibby. And I said, what have you seen in Bibby? He goes, well, that's my boy. He goes, that guy really works hard. Obviously, he still works on his body because he's the most fit guy in any room. I mean, he should have done his presser yesterday with a with no sleeves, just let those guns pop. But he said, Albion Connie said that Mike brought him down several years in a row down to Phoenix, where he was coaching high school basketball, to work out his guys and condition them. And I said, so what did you see in him as a teacher? He goes, he's a fantastic teacher of the game, fundamentals, boxing out, screening away, all things that Kenny could appreciate as a former player. And he goes, he's really big on that. And Albion Connie stressed, that's not always the case for a guy who played at an elite level. They don't know how to teach it because they're just so naturally gifted. But Bibby's emphatic on that. I think that's refreshing. And so they're going to get players. They're going to move into the well, which is going to be a nice, huge upgrade from the Nest. He said, we're coming here to win. I don't want to let the city down. This is a second home for him. As we all know, he's a beloved Kings player, 14-year NBA player, 7 years with the Kings. And so as we look at the Big Sky landscape, it's winnable. You're talking Eastern Washington, Idaho, Idaho State, Montana, Montana State. You could win that conference. And what happens if you win the conference, like in the conference tournament? You're in the NCAA. Then anything could happen. We saw it with Mark Campbell, the Sac State women's coach, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. They won the conference tournament and played. And now he's at TCU and almost made it to the Final Four. So point being, impact coaches make a difference. And can they navigate the NIL and the transfer portal? Absolutely. If you get name recognition with a guy like Mike Bibby, I think that'll happen. If he was some assistant coach from the University of Missouri that we'd never heard of, would we be excited? Probably not. So go for it and see what happens. What if they only have him for a couple of years? Well, at least you had him for a couple of years. Yeah. Is kind of the attitude. So I'm a believer now. I was initially skeptical, saying, you know, does he have any experience? Well, he'll surround himself with experience. And, you know, and he has said, we're going to bring big-time players in. A lot of NBA dads, current players or retired, said they will bring their son or steer their son to Sacramento State so they could learn the game and play. It's Division I. It's the highest classification. He's got a big challenge here, guys. Sac State's been in Division I since 1991, two winning seasons, all time in Division I. So it's been a lot of misery and mediocrity, but better days ahead. I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Joe,
by the way, real quick, Sac State's last head coach was our brother David Patrick.
Shout out to my man David Patrick down at LSU.
Great guy. Yeah. Great hire for the Hornets. And then he went back home, which opens the door here. So that was the right hire, David Patrick, for the Hornets then. Mike Bibby's the right hire now.
Yeah, he went back home for Kenny Caraway money. He didn't go home for cheap.
That's exactly right.
That man is a very well-paid assistant coach out there at LSU.
A lot more than Kenny Caraway money, I'll tell you that for sure.
And don't be surprised if Al Biancani, the former King strength coach, who still does a lot of it here in town, joins the Hornets.
Oh, Lord.
He was there yesterday, Joe, right?
He's going to beat them boys' ass. Okay, well, thoughts and prayers to all future Hornets, because your life is about to change.
Oh, you better find the trash bin because you will lose it. You will lose your lunch.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Know where all the trash cans are during those first few workouts.
Straight up. Can't wait for that. Joe, I know you got a game to watch, and I appreciate you taking the time, but I want to ask you one last Sac State thing before we get you out of here. You've seen it all. You've seen so much with Sac State. I can't remember a time when this type of excitement was surrounding the athletic departments for what they, you know, Mark Orr talked about it. It's the porch of your athletic department, right? Like, the volleyball team is doing great. Baseball is great. Mm-hmm. You know, they do a lot of other good things. But men's basketball, football, that's the porch of your athletic department. I can't remember a time when the energy was as high as it is right now. Do you remember another time? Even when Sac State was kind of winning a couple years ago, I don't think it was like this.
No. And when Troy Taylor was here with Sac State football, he pulled them out of the, you know, their first conference championships, won three of them. So there was excitement there. But now, you know, this is great excitement for basketball. Brian Katz, great guy, classy coach. Didn't bring that kind of excitement. I mean, you know, Mike Bibby is a name. Brennan Marion, the new coach for Sac State football. Wow, is he impressive. I saw a couple of his practices, spring drills, and everybody's active. Everybody's involved. He's there at the press conference. He's got the number one recruiting class in the FCS in America. He's getting guys. So, you know, I like the energy of Mark Orr. I've known him forever. I've been around so long, I named him All-Metro Sacramento B in 1992. And he always teases me about that. And I said, well, you weren't very fast then, and you can't move laterally now, so I don't know what I was thinking. But and then Luke Wood has just got unique energy and spirit and vision. You know, the Sac State better hope they can hold on to Luke Wood, because I'm sure there are other colleges saying, well, we'd like to have that kind of energy. So all of those things together add up to a potential gold mine, and you know, and there were a couple of deep pocketed donors there at the Bibby presser yesterday too, because they want to help out, and that's what we've talked about. Does Sacramento State, with all of its alumni, and they proudly announced there are 30,000 alumni who live in the greater Sacramento area. Well, who's the rich ones? Let's get the rich ones over here, because that's how you get facilities and NIL money. And, you know, Boise State and Nevada and San Jose State could have nice facilities in their smaller regions. well, maybe not San Jose, but the other ones are smaller than Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So it's all money, you know, and I think it's very good. I think it's great for this region. Why not have big time Division I college athletics? So if you're a big city, and the fact that UC Davis has done well as well in a lot of those things, it's good for this region. It's good for me. I love covering it.
100%.
Go enjoy the baseball game, Joe.
While it's still a game.
You know, I don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. But I think I'll have like three pilsners the rest of the way. And no, I won't do that. But hey, before I sign off, Kenny had to have seen our Sacramento BL Metro teams, McClatchy Lions, mm-hmm. pride of the Sacramento City Unified School District. Nina Kane is our back-to-back Player of the Year.
Yes, indeed.
6'2" forward, could be an WNBA player, ball handler, shooter, 4-5 GPA, going to the Washington Huskies. Class act.
Love it.
Relentless work ethic, nice personality. She is just everything that's good about high school sports and the Sac City Unified. So Nina Kane, shout out for her and doing it the right way, and we're going to see her for a lot of years in basketball.
Absolutely. Well deserved, man. What a run they went on and winning that game in the state playoffs. And, you know, shout out to my McClatchy Lions, man. Big ups to them. Big ups.
And their coach, Jeff Oda, is our coach of the year. So a lot of Lions love, man. And
as it should be.
That's exactly right. Kenny, always a champion for the McClatchy Lions.
Always. Appreciate you, Joe. Thank you, my friend. Go enjoy some baseball.
Thank you, guys. Take care, man.
All right, brother. Man, Joe Davidson right there. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, Joe.
Joe Davidson. I was looking for, like, the thing to remove him from the stream. It's like, oh, I don't have to do anything. He's on the phone. Just Jesse will do
it. Click.
Jesse will hang up and say, goodbye, sir.
Just
we will
click.
Catch you next time. Yeah. We will catch you next time. Great stuff from Joe, man. Lots of insight there into, yeah, I didn't think Al Biakhane was eye candy for the press conference yesterday. I can't imagine. First of all, Al's probably 80 and he will beat your ass now. But like, I don't know if he's taking on a college program full time, but is he helping someone set a college program up? Mm-hmm. Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, special advisor.
I could see that.
You know, a Jerry West of trainers type.
Yeah,
guy.
Man. Mike, Al is a bad dude, and him and Mike stay close. I think the last time we saw Al, he was at Chris's book signing that we did at 40 Acres.
That was the first time I ever met him.
Yeah, and hey, why don't you tell your boy to come over? Yeah, every time. Hey, why isn't your ass over here? Well, Al, I have four jobs I have to do. Oh, that's fine. Get here in the morning. All right, man, I need to walk the rest of the day, Al. Yeah, he wants to get his – he knows you're a basketball player, too.
I'm out of shape basketball player.
Yeah, he wants you over there bad.
I'm out of shape basketball player.
He wants you over there so bad.
I'm definitely
I'm surprised he hasn't texted right now. He must have a client because he wants you over there so bad.
I'm definitely going to throw up, man. It's going to be rough.
And you know, it's like.
It's going to be rough.
It is literally across the street. Like, it's like I can. It's right there.
Damn.
Yeah.
It'd be rough.
Like, if he wanted to walk over here, grab you by the arm, and take you over to the facility, yeah, he could do it. He'd tell you, oh, Mike's over here right now trying to get some work in.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna get over there one day just because, but I'm telling you, it ain't going to be nothing nice. I'm not in pristine shape. I need to get in better shape, though.
Yeah, you know what he'll do, too, to, like, really get under your skin? You'll be there with, like, some veterans, and he'll be like, all right, let's go, y'all. All right, man. We're gonna get sick. We're gonna get 60 in. Oh, it's okay, Bubba. You only have to do 30. Hey, Bubba, just work your way up. It's all right. You don't look good. You okay? Then he'll come do it. Girl next to you, she's running on the treadmill. Oh, Bubba, you don't have to go that fast. It's okay. he will psychologically torment you in a way that makes it look like he cares about. Like, oh no, Bubba, yeah. It's okay.
See, there's one thing about me. I'll pace myself. You ain't going to shame me into I'm just going to collapse and pass out. The first day here, she's going to be able to. She's been here for 2 months. Yes, she's going to be able to run faster on the treadmill than I will.
So that's the good thing. That's the flip side. R.I.P. If he thinks you're pacing yourself, he will make your life way more miserable. Way, way more miserable.
You're going to have me just every ligament in my legs just snap because I went in, I told you a long time ago, I don't go into fifth gear. Learned my lesson 10 years ago. No. It's third gear. Now, I'm going to work hard, but.
He'll push you.
Yeah.
He'll push
you. I'm going to go over there.
And if he may have to relocate. You may have to catch him over there at the Hornet Gym.
That's our new home. That's our second home.
You and Mike Bibby bench pressing.
Oh man, I can't keep up with Mike man.
That summer. Hey, you're just gonna lift what Mike lifts. All right, fine. Yeah, go ahead. Utter that sentence now. I don't think I'm gonna do that. Why don't I lift half of what Mike is lifting?
Can't keep up with Mike. I want to reiterate to everybody because I saw Coach Marion at the press conference, like Joe D was talking about, and he said, "Yo," I don't think he said KC because I don't know if he knows my name, but we were talking for a second, and he said, "Let everybody know, just in case they don't know, Sac State's got a spring game.
Mm-hmm.
It's April 13th, Sunday, April 13th, next Sunday, and it's free to the public. Everybody can go. You don't need tickets, nothing like that. Like he wants everybody out there." To see what he's got cooking up with that Sac State football team. We've been seeing, clips on social media and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then when we talk to them, they've been working. They've been working for a while, too. And he's like, man, let everybody know, man, spring game is free. Come through. Family friendly. Should be a beautiful day. Pull up. So spring game, April 13th at Hornet Stadium, man. Go check that out. I was for sure saying, like, yeah, we're going to be there. And then I looked at the schedule. That's the last game of the season. And it's a 12:30 start.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to that. I already decided. I don't want to do that.
No matter what?
That game might be for everything. I ain't going to be no part. I don't want no part of that. Just sitting there in sadness and despair.
The game's going to be like Billy Bean in Moneyball with the radio.
No,
driving
man.
Away from the game.
It might not mean nothing.
Yeah, it might not. It might not mean anything.
If it don't mean nothing, I'll be at the spring game.
Yeah, that game might not mean anything. What's the game before that?
Clippers on a Friday.
Really?
Yeah. Denver on Wednesday.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, that's right. They ended. They end at home.
Mm-hmm.
The three at home. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Do we got a time for the spring game?
I think it's the same time.
It's on their Instagram page. It is early.
I believe it's at the same time.
Well, we need to find out if we have responsibilities at that game.
I know.
Sac State football. I know it was one of the last things I saw. Oh, that
spring ended. Game is. Oh, actually, it's 4 p.m. So we can do them both.
There you go.
4 p.m. April 13th. Open to the public. Free admission, man. Pull up.
All right. Let's do that. Hey, man, didn't you already use that Domas graphic?
Oh, no.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, there's no rule on not doubling up on
graphics. Man. What? You're going to tell me you doubled up on Greg Barnes next?
Hold on. Let me scroll. Well, maybe he didn't.
I think I might have.
He did. Well. Boo! Kenny is not dope. Kenny is not dope.
Graphics design is not a passion.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, when they start winning some games, then I'll make new graphics.
Kenny just changing the logo.
I didn't even realize that. I had that because there's a bunch that I've already Photoshopped and I just grabbed it out of that. But, what happens? All right. Win a game. Matter of fact,
Kenny if is they, not dope.
If they lose after every loss, you're getting a recycled.
Oh, man.
If you win, you get a
Kenny
brand new
one.
Kenny
ain't even working that hard for the Kings if they losing. And I got to be honest, I don't blame the man.
You win, you get a brand new one.
You know what's really attractive is all these March Madness logos they keep getting automatedly put up. Still
back.
Better than that one. Of course, my access to my own account has been revoked. I have to log in to ESPN. At a time that someone else is logged into ESPN
what?
And can approve my login. That's how it works.
They hate you.
Man. Bitch, I created this account. Stop locking me out of it. Jesus.
That is ridiculous.
If you hadn't locked me out of it, Kenny wouldn't have repeated the Domas graphic.
Still fighting for
no checks and balances.
Hey, that NBA one is crazy. I might have to do something about that. That's a quick fix. Come on, man. If we got the game, come on, man. Just let me.
What is crazy? Why? What's wrong with it?
No, that's crazy. Just
Stilo and KC, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. Talk to our man TC here. We missed him yesterday. Elk Grove Kia talk line up and running. We want to hear from you. 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
Not much, man. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. Tapping in with the homies, man. Doing better. It's the game tonight. You know, we're going to get it in. We got to get in how we fit in, right?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I kind of want to touch bases on I'm kind of hearing a little bit. I don't know how much it is. I know I hopped on the airwaves talking about Bob Myers, right? You know, but I've been looking around online and all that, looking around, and I'm starting to see it's a little bit of noise, though. But I'm going to see how that all unfoils and, you know, break down as far as Bob Myers being a new GM, though. But I know we was talking about that. And if it happened, it happened, big dog. As far as Domas, you know, D-Lo, if we ain't talking about Domas enough, you know, we always going to talk about Domas. And I'm going to keep it real simple. Every time we talk about this dude, you keep talking about clarity, big dog. Your clarity is Doug Christie, period. Anything else you got to talk about, bro, I really don't want to hear about it, dude. Your clarity is Doug Christie, dude.
What you mean by that? What you mean? Like,
shoot the ball more. You clarity, you want to, you seeking clarity about the organization, bro, and all, which way we go. Well, your way was Doug Christie. Right? I believe, right? You wanted Doug. Y'all work out in the offseason. You wanted Doug as a coach, big dog. So that's your clarity, dude. You need to shoot the ball more and kick back, dog, and be more of a leader. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to say too much on him, though. But his clarity is Doug Christie, bro, and I'm going to stick to that.
Okay.
He's fed up.
Yeah, he's already sick of Domas. We knew this was going to happen. Like,
to Domas or TC being upset with Domas?
People. TC you. Be upset with anybody. We knew people were going to be frustrated with Domas at some point, especially after that clarity thing. That was going to happen.
There was another report out there Friday, I think it was, about, and once again, this wasn't from Domas. The clarity wasn't from him specifically either, right? But it was like, yeah, you know, he may be seeking a trade, or if they go in a certain direction, they may be. I think the post was they may be looking to trade him, not he's looking for a trade. But like, depending on what happens this summer, what direction they go. If they go in like a rebuilding direction, they may trade him. I can't remember if it said he would ask for one or not, but here we are.
Wait, when was that article? Wasn't the Clarity article.
Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I have more of an issue with, yo, I want some clarity as to, like, where are we going with this team? Mm-hmm. That's exit meetings. Like, that's every year. That's no big deal. Jesse, what do we have pulled up here?
This is the quote I think Kenny was referring to.
Yeah, Brett Siegel.
Yeah. Many around the league are preparing for the possibility of the Kings becoming big sellers ahead of the 2026 NBA trade deadline next February, which would likely result in Sabonis requesting a trade, share a clear direction, not present itself.
Huh.
And much like you, that...
I don't...
Siegel NBA.
That's...
Clutch points.
Fine.
Huh.
I guess I understand that if I'm talking about Sabonis. Like, if at that point, if they're like, we're just going to do a rebuild, yeah, he may request, I want to go somewhere where I can win. I get it. I always... Like, why doesn't anybody want to be part of the solution? I guess I understand, you know, you only got a certain amount of time in this league and, you know, people wanting to win or whatever. But, like, if that was the case, they were sellers at the 2026 trade deadline. So, well, hey, I want to, you know, I signed up here to you know, to see this thing in for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
We're on some tough times right now, but you can count on me to be part of trying to turn this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to Domas, these are all reports. Nobody says that he hasn't said that. Right?
Yeah, there was a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of piecing together in that quote mm-hmm. from that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Brad is necessarily wrong. I don't know if he's speculating or if that's something that someone has shared with him. But it felt like there was a lot of kind of like mixing and matching in that quote.
Yeah, many around the league are preparing for the possibility.
So that is not the Kings. So this doesn't appear to have come from the Kings. It doesn't appear to have come from Domas, and it doesn't appear to have come from anybody involving Domantas Sabonis.
This is talking to people in the league.
It's sure, A B, A plus B.
And what have we learned? And what have we learned about that? Again, I'm not trashing Brad Siegel. I'm just saying, yeah. what have we learned about that?
It could be anybody.
You could be a goddamn coffee boy.
Yeah, it could be anybody. And once again, like you
finish the quote. Sorry, could you finish the quote?
Many around the league are preparing for the possibility of the Kings becoming big sellers ahead of the 2026 NBA trade deadline next February.
Mm-hmm.
Which would likely result in Sabonis requesting a trade should a clear direction not present itself.
A lot of speculating. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Get your content off. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. That's not a report.
And like I said, my issue
lies with the clarity. That was a report. Uh-huh. I think it was from Sam. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
I have a problem with that. Because that is almost saying, man, I don't know what's going on here, but when this season's over, I need some clarity. Okay? I'll give you clarity because that guy we just got rid of, you didn't like. Not just that, we hired your coach. Mm. How many games did we show up to over the last 2+ years? 60 minutes before the game. Domas is out there on the floor. Mm. Who's he with?
Doug.
He's with Doug. Mm-hmm. You know, Barbosa's out there. Our man Coach Shane was out there a year ago. But his coach is Doug.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's what TC was referring to when he said, your clarity is Doug Christie. I think that's what he was referring to.
And I can absolutely understand that. Absolutely understand that. And that's something that people are going to feel some type of way. If Domas tries to, try, but
absolutely
request to leave.
Yep.
And like I said, these guys, they're young guys.
I'm gonna feel a certain way about it.
Mm. I hear you.
I think I already do.
I think you already do too.
Man ain't done nothing, and I'm already kind of annoyed.
But it's one of those things where these guys, they're young. They want to win or whatever. I don't understand why it always has to be. Like, oh, we're not winning now. I want to leave. Maybe because you get labeled a certain way. Because remember what people were saying about Kyle Kuzma when he's like, nah, I want to stay here in Washington. Oh, well, he's not serious about winning. Well, why does it have to be that?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be I signed up here with this franchise to try and help them be a winning team? Some things have taken a little bit of a turn. I'm not going to bail on them. I still want to be part of trying to help this team win. And why does it have to be that as opposed to, oh, well, he had an opportunity and he don't want to win. All right. So maybe that's why they just always look to leave when things get a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess from his side, like he's already 28 and he's never really won anything in his career team-wise or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You stick around with the Kings for another 3-4 years, like at the end of your prime, probably near the end of your career. It's like now maybe you're going to start.
Yeah, I get it. I do get that.
Yeah, that's fine. Also, maybe there's a reason for that.
What's the reason?
Well, you had it. Like, what is the reason Sacramento's not winning at a better percentage this year? What's the reason that this team is such a disappointment? I'm asking.
I point to the front office.
Okay, fine. So this roster is that bad. What's the record? 36. What are we at? 36 and 39. They're that bad. This roster, we could talk about it being imbalanced, but this roster, everybody begged for Malik Monk to be re-signed. He did. Everybody begged for Keon Ellis to get minutes. He did. Everybody begged to not trade Keegan Murray. Didn't. DeMar DeRozan is here. Zach LaVine is here. Quality basketball players. DeMontis Sabonis is an all-NBA player. What is the reason that this roster is so bad? What is the reason that this record is so bad?
Sometimes those guys got to look in the mirror. That's where I always look at.
That's what I'm talking about.
You don't have a point guard on this roster. Like, yeah, it's nice. We want to make Malik try to be one, but he's not really a point guard. You don't have a point guard. Been trying to get wings on this team forever. You drafted a guy who was great.
So you're telling me this team
already hurt.
Is 36 and 39 because they don't have an organizer.
It's not that. It's unbalanced more than that. Like, you have like Zach LaVine, DeMar, and Monk don't work together. Like, it's just, none of this is balanced. It's not a good roster.
So Keon Ellis is starting now. Does that group work together?
I've never been start Keon. Like, you know me.
You're not a truther?
No, never been. Like, this team's mistake was that they never built off of anything.
Yeah, but I'm kind of leaning with Dame. Like,
you traded your supposed franchise player. Now we got Zach LaVine in here. It's like, what? Now we got to make that work?
Fire
your head coach.
There are other extenuating circumstances that don't help what's going on, but they do have enough talent to be better than who they are.